Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Yud Ches, and we are about 15 lines from the bottom of daf Yud Zayin Omid Beis, the very last Gemara of the first perek of Masechta Sanhedrin. So the Mishnah concluded with giving us the makar to the Sanhedrin Agadol, Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. According to the Chachamim, 71. According to Rabbi Yehuda, 70. It comes from a pasuk in Parashas Baaleischa, Esfali Shivim Ish Mizikne Yisrael. The question was, is it 70 in addition to Moshe? Or perhaps Moshe wasn't a member of the Sanhedrin, as difficult as that may seem to comprehend. But there is a tzad in the Gemara that maybe Moshe wasn't a member of the Sanhedrin, and as a result, it's the Shivim Zikanim, and Moshe is not included in that. That was the Sanhedrin Agadol. But in addition to there being a Sanhedrin Agadol, there was also a Sanhedrin Akatan. We're going to see in today's Gemara that not every city qualified to have this smaller Sanhedrin, but assuming a city met certain criteria, they had the ability and perhaps the obligation to set up a smaller Sanhedrin. That Sanhedrin wasn't made up of 70 or 71 members. That Sanhedrin was smaller. It was made up of 23 members. And the Mishnah gave us the Makar, last Gemara, the previous daf, where exactly we know 23. It says v'hitzilu ha'eda, eda's 10. V'shaftu ha'eda, eda's another 10. We know the idea that you don't go basarov l'ra unless there are two more saying ra than are saying toiv. So if you have 10 being mechayev and 10 being mezakah, and you have to have the ability to have a roiv of two saying chayiv, it means at the very least there has to be 22. Ein bezdin shakol, it can never be an even number. That's how you end up with 23. But at the very end of the Mishnah, there was a machlokes tanoim. How big a city has to be? What's the minimum size that a city would have to be in order for it to be ra'ui to have this Sanhedrin hakotam? So the Mishnah said, v'kami yehi ba'ir v'tei ruila Sanhedrin, me'ya v'esr, 120. So if a city has 120 members, small population, but if there's a population of 120, now it's ru'uya for there to be a Sanhedrin Kitana. If there were less than 120 members, you can't have a Sanhedrin. Rav Nechemya said it has to be a little bigger than that. It would have to be 230. We'll see in the Gemara there's going to be a third and a fourth sheet as well. So says the Gemara, v'kama yehi ba'ir v'yehi ruila Sanhedrin, nei v'esrim. The first opinion of the Mishnah was that how large or small does a city have to be in order for it to be ru'uya to have this Sanhedrin? 120 members. Says the Gemara, nei v'esrim. What's the methodology? It's not a random number. 120. A hindert in Svansik. Where does that number come from? Says the Gemara, Esrim v'shloisha k'neged Sanhedrin k'tana. You need 23 members in the city because they themselves are going to be the Sanhedrin. V'shloish shurois shel esrim v'shloisha harei tishim v'tarti. Rashi, quoting a Gemara later, says that we're going to see that when the Sanhedrin HaKotan would sit, the 23 members, there had to be another three rows. Each row had another 23 people that weren't members of the Sanhedrin, but they were technically ro'oi to be members of the Sanhedrin. They were there for backup, so it's a lot of backup, 3-to-1 ratio. But there were three shurois of backups, again discussed in greater detail in Gemaras later, so that if you need the 23 of the Sanhedrin, plus the three rows of backup, it's 23 times 4, that's 92. V'asara batalonim, a good city has to have at least 10 batalonim, which meant not what we think it means, Mishnah, Masechtas, Megillah, but these were 10 people whose job was to be batalonim, not from learning Torah, but batalonim from working. Rather, what they did was they sat in the Beis HaKnesses all day, and their job was to the contrary, to learn Torah. So the city would have to have at least these 10 batlonim hare meya betray. So the Gemara is helping us with the math. So 92 plus 10, that's 102. Vishnei soifrim, you have to have two scribes. Vishnei chazonim, there have to be two chazonim, two shamoshim that worked in Bezdin. Vishnei balidinim, you have to have at least two people to stand in front of this elaborate Bezdin. So you have this fancy schmancy Bezdin. You have 22 dayonim, plus you have two shamoshim, and you have two stenographers, so somebody has to be there. So you have another two. Vishnei Eden, you have to have two Eden. Vishnei Zoymimin, you need Eden Sha'atayachal Azima. So there have to be at least two people that could be Eden Zoymimin. Vishnei Zoymimin, and you need at least two people that could be mazim the mazimim. So it's another 12. Hare meyavar besa. So you have 102 plus these 12. You end up with 114. Okay, but we still don't have 120. The Gemara is not finished. V'tanya, we learned in the Brisa. Kolu she'im ba'asar edvar malalu in Talmud Chacham Rashi Lod b'toicha. Any city that doesn't have the following things, a Talmud Chacham is not allowed to live in that city. What are those things? Bezdin makdim va'inchen. A bezdin that gives malchus d'iraisa. And they give Makkas Mardus the Rabbanim. So Talmud Chacham is not allowed to live in a city where there's no Bezdin that gives Malkus. The Kupa Shal Tzedakah. Talmud Chacham is not allowed to live in a city if there's no Kupa Shal Tzedakah, that's Nigves Bishnayim, that has two people that are in charge of collecting the money, and has another three people, a different three people, that are in charge of distributing the money. Ubeis HaKnesses, Ubeis HaMerchitz, Ubeis HaKise. Additionally, a Talmud Chacham is not allowed to live in a city if there's no Roife, there's no doctor, an Umin, that's a bloodletter, very common back in the day, V'lavler, a Seifer, V'tabach, and a Sheichet, U'melami Tinoikis, and a Rebbe, Shum Rebbe Kiva, Rebbe Kiva said, Af Mine Peira, a Talmud Chacham is also not allowed to live in a city with there are no peiros, because they're good for the eyes. So the bottom line is, a Talmud Chacham is not allowed to live in a city that doesn't have those things. Now, the ones that are relevant to us is you need a kupa shel tzedakah that has two people that are in charge, two gaboyi tzedakah to collect the money, that's two. Another three gaboyi tzedakah to distribute the money, that's five. And Rashi says, the other jobs that were mentioned, doctor, bloodletter, seifer, butcher, and a Rebbe, that could all be one person. One person could do all of those things. So you had 114, plus the five people that are involved in the tzedakah, plus the one person that can multitask. Suddenly we're multitasking. Like, you would think we could have multitasked at somewhere previously in this count of 120. But this one multitasker, that's how you end up with the number 120. So 120, number one, to set up the picture of the way the judicial system, the way the court is going to look between the Dayanim and the backup and the Balidin and the Edim and the scribes and the Zaymimin and the Zaymimin. Plus, there are certain basic things that a Talmud Chacham, these Dayanim, a Talmid Chachamim, are going to have to make sure are in the city in order for them to be able to live there. That's how the Gemara says you come up. So you would have thought the number 120 is a little more straightforward. It's a pasuk somewhere. No, it's actually a convoluted cheshbon. That's how we end up with the number 120. Rav Nechemya armed it. Rav Nechemya said the number is 230. And what was the svar of 230? He actually explained it in the Mishnah. It was very, very straightforward. It's so that each member of the Sanhedrin Ketana should be the leader of a group of 10. And Rashi said, because if you're not the leader of a group of 10, then that's not called Srara. If you don't have 10 people sitting around the table, you don't have a real job. So, counting? So you have to have at least 10. So if you're going to need 23, 230 divided by 23 is 10. That's it. You're going to come up with the number of 10. Says the Gemara, Tanya, we learned to the Brisa. Rebbe Yemi Rebbe said, Masayim v'shivim v'shiva. No, it's not 120. It's not 230, but rather it's 277. Freak the Gemara, Tanya, we learned to the Brisa. Rebbe Yemi Rebbe said, Masayim shivim v'shmoyim. So before we figure out where 277 comes from, but we learned to the Brisa, it's not 277, it's actually 278. Kasha says the Gemara, HaRab Yehuda, HaRab. So what's this 277, 278? And which Rab Yehuda and which Rabbanon would be the way to answer the contradiction between what number it really is? Rashi explains very nicely, based on something that the Gemara discussed in the previous daf, and that is that what happens if you have a hung jury? What happens if you have 11 people of this Bez and Shalchav Gimel saying Chayiv, 11 people say Zakai, and there's one person who says, any idea? I have no idea. So the Gemara quoted a Mishnah later, Maisif and Oichnaim, they would add another two. And what if the two were also split? They would add another two. Up until you came to the number of the Sanhedrin Agadol. Once you got to the number of the Sanhedrin Agadol, at that point, you stop dividing. So says Rebbe, you know how many people you're going to need in this city. You have to have more people to be able to add in the event that somebody says, any idea? How many more people? So it's going to be the difference between either 70 and 23 or 71 and 23. If the Sanhedrin HaGadol was made up of 70, so you'd have to have the ability to add another 47. Because you have 23, you may potentially have to add another 47 to get to 70. If the Sanhedrin HaGadol was made up of 71 then you have to have the potential to add another 48. So the number, says Rebbe, really is 230 like Reb Nechemya. But he's going to add either 47 or 48, depending on whether you hold like Rebbe Yehuda the Chachamim. Thus, there's two numbers. The number is going to be 277. That's according to Rebbe Yehuda. It's going to be 278. That's according to the Chachamim. Tanu Rabbanon. One final brace on this note. The Pasuk says that Yisroi told Moshe that when you go and you find Dayanim, Zava'ate Sechse Mikola Am, you should find Anshe Chayil, Yireh Elikim, Anshe Emes, Soine Bats, I'm reading from the side, Vesamta Aleim, and you should place Sorei Alofim, Sorei Meyos, Sorei Chamishim, Vesorei Asoreis. So the Yidin, or the Dayanim, were divided into groups. There were those that were in charge over 1,000, over 100, over 50, and over 10. Says the Gemara, how many Dayanim were there that were in charge of 1,000? 600. If there were 600,000 Yidden, 600,000 divided by 1,000 is going to be 600. Sorry, Meyos, how many were in charge of 100? 6,000. Sorei Chamishim, how many Sorei Chamishim were there? 12,000. 600,000 divided by 50 is 12,000. Sorei Asoreis, how many people were there that were in charge of 10? Sheishas Ribay, 60,000. 600,000 divided by 10 is 60,000. Nimtzu Dayani Yisrael, so how many Dayani Yisrael were there? Shivas Ribay, 70,000. Vishmoinas Alavim, plus another 8,000, 78,000, Vishesh Meos, and 600. That's basic back of the envelope arithmetic. And on that note, Hadron Allah, a very geshmaka Dinei Mominus. Jumps right into the second parak. Zok the Mishnah, Koyin Gadol, the Koyin Gadol. So why is there a parak right here in Mesechta Sanhedrin called Parak Koyin Gadol? It's because we mentioned in the first Mishnah of the Mesechta the laws of a Koyin Gadol, and the Koyin Gadol was treated differently than an ordinary person. Koyin Gadol was anything but ordinary. Kol Adavar Agadol, Dvarav Shal Gadol, Yoviu Neilai, it had to be brought to Moshe. Moshe was B'makom, the Bezdin of Ayin Aleph, and we learn from there that the Koyin Gadol was judged, not by a Bezdin Shal Chav Gimel, more details to come, but he was judged by a Bezdin Shal Ayin Aleph. So we mentioned the fact that the Koyin Gadol was different, he was distinguished, he was singled out. So the Mishnah, now a whole Perek in Shas, that's going to talk about some other unique halachas of the Kohen Gadol, unique halachas regarding the Melech. I think it's very apropos to be learning this right after Tisha B'Av, right before Shabbos Nachamu. Halachas that describe what the world once upon a time looked like when there was a Kohen Gadol, and you'll see here in the Mishnah the covet that the Kohen Gadol was given, the covet that the Melachim were given, certainly Dover Be'itei Matav. Zok the Mishnah, Kohen Gadol don v'don anoise. A Kohen Gadol was qualified to be a member of the Sanhedrin. So the Kohen Gadol also happened to be a big Talmud Chacham, he could sit on the Sanhedrin. The Gemara is going to ask, Pshita, V'don Anoisei, and he could be judged. So he could judge, he could be a Dayan, V'don Anoisei, Meid, he can be an aid, he's Koshal Eidos, Umi'id Anoisei, and people can testify about him. Choyleitz, he could do Chalitza. So that if his brother died without children, left over an Almana, also known as a Yevama, the Halach is, there's a mitzvah for the brother that's alive to do either Yibam or Chalitza. If the Kohen Gadol chooses to do Chalitza, he could do Chalitza. If the Kohen Gadol died and he had no children and he left over a brother, so his brother could do Chalitza on his wife. Or if the brother wants to do Yibum instead of Chalitza, that's also good. He himself can't do Yibum, meaning the Kohen Gadol cannot do Yibum. If his brother dies without children, or Yevama by definition is an Almana, and a Kohen Gadol is Aser Balmana, says the Mishnah right. If a Kohen Gadol has a close relative that dies, see, he's not let to go after the Mita. We know that a Kohen is not allowed to be metamah to a meis. Stating that, the seven kraven, he is allowed to be metamah to. The seven kraven that are mentioned in the Torah in the beginning of Parashas Emor. But the Kohen Gadol, just like a Nazar, they're the two people that are not allowed to be metamah to anybody. The only ones that a Kohen Gadol and a Nazar are allowed to be metamah to is a meis mitzvah. There's a whole perik in Masechtas Nazir called Perek Kohen Gadol. That's the other Perek Kohen Gadol in Shas. So there's Perek Kohen Gadol Masechtas Sanhedrin, there's Perek Kohen Gadol Masechtas Nazir, and discussion over there is with a Kohen Gadol and a Nazir are walking together in the street, and they find the Meis Mitzvah. It's like the whole Shas all wrapped in one. So you have a Kohen Gadol, you have a Nazir, boom, they bump it. There's a Shorah Mu'ud coming on the other side. Right, and they bump into a Meis Mitzvah. The question is, who should be Metama to the Meis Mitzvah? Should the Kohen Gadol be Metama, or should the Nazir be Metama? They both are obviously very Kaddish to the degree that none of them are allowed to be metame to a mace, even not to a karev. The question is, where the Torah says to a mace mitzvah, yeah, which one of them should do it? Should the Kohen Gadol do it or the Nazir do it? But anyway, Kohen Gadol is never allowed to be metame to a mace. So what happens if one of his relatives dies? So he can't be metame, but he wants to participate in the funeral procession. Is that something he's allowed to do? So the Mishnah says he can. However, he has to follow very strict guidelines. Eina yoytz achramita. He can't literally follow the bet. Elo, what he could do is, hey nichsin vahu nigla, hey nigla vahu nichsa. So Rashi explains what it means is that he can follow the mita as long as he's one mavoi removed. So in the olden days, the streets, think of the Gesalach in Yerushalayim, right? Walk through Mea Sharim, so you have a bunch of mavois. So as long as they're not in the same mavoi, in the same alleyway, at the same time, Rashi describes it in detail, that would be okay. So he can do it as long as there's some hecker, as long as he's keeping some distance, so that there's no chashash that he's going to jump on the maze because of the tsar that he has and actually touch the maze, then it's going to be fine. The yoytze imam, he can continue doing this at Pesach Shar O'ir until he comes to the entranceway of the city. We'll see more right about that. Divi Rameir, Rehuda says, in the yoytze ben HaMikdash, no, he's never allowed to leave the Beis HaMikdash. Kohen Gadol cannot leave the Beis HaMikdash. He can't be metame l'meis, he can't even participate in the funeral procession, and even if he's going to do it in a way where there'll be a hecker, it's still not okay. Shenema, because the pasuk says, "Umin hamikdash lo yetze." Ukshu menachim acherim. When the Kohen Gadol is being menachim people, he's doing nichum avelim. So derech kolam oivrim bezeh acharzeh. So the Mishnah is describing what we know as shura. So if anyone's ever seen it, Loyaleinu, so the process of Shura is where the Avelim, right after the Levaya, after the Kfura, so the Avelim will stand on one side, I'm sorry, the Menachemim will stand on the two sides of the Avelim, and the Avelim walk through, and that's the process that was done. Now, the Gemara is going to say that in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, it was actually done a little bit differently. Rather than the Avelim being the ones walking in between the Menachemim, it was the Menachemim that were walking, and the Avelim would stand in one place. So, Kishahu Menachem, when the Kohen Gadol would be from the Menachemim, Derech Kolam Over Mezachazah. The people would walk, and this is the Shura, where today the Avelim walk. There it was the Menachemim that were walking. But being that he's the Kohen Gadol, even though he has this mitzvah to be Menachem Avelim, but he wouldn't just walk in this single file line in between two ordinary yidden. No, he had to be distinguished a little bit. So what would happen is the Memuna, that's the Skan Kohen Gadol, he would be to the right of the of the Hamoin Am that are being Menachim. The Kohen Gadol would be to the right of the Mamuna, so that the Mamuna is Mematza. He's separating the Kohen Gadol and the rest of the When other people are being Menachemim, the people would tell him, Anu Kapara Secha, we should be a Kapara, meaning any other bad thing that was supposed to happen to you, Klal Yisrael is taking it upon themselves as a nation, let it instead happen to us. For who Aimer Lahem, and he would tell them, no, you should be gebenched. Chas v'shalom, nothing bad should happen to you, you should be gebenched. When they would bring the Suda Savra, everybody would sit on the Aretz, he would sit on a bench. Either way, that's the first part of the Mishnah. So the first part of the Mishnah, it's a smorgasbord of ideas, most of which is going to be discussed in detail in the Gemara, where the Gemara says, just like we had in the first Mishnah in the Masechta, that the Kohen Gadol is different in the way that he was judged, not Bezen Shalchav Gimel, for example, but rather Bezen Shal Ayin Aleph. There's other halachas that pertain to the Kohen Gadol as well. So although he's done even he himself can't do yibum, number one. Number two, he has to be very careful when he's at a levaya, even from a family member. He can't get too close, because if he gets too close, there's a chash that he may do something. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he can't be Menachem at all. He's never allowed to leave. When he's Menachem others. So he couldn't just walk, let's say, by the Shura together with the Am, but rather he would have to be separated. He would be to the right of the Skan, who was to the right of everybody else. When they were Menachem him, they would tell him, Anu Kaparos, that's not something you tell an ordinary person. And even when they brought in the Sudas Havra, everybody would sit on the ground. And ironically, the Kohen Gadol, who's the person, he's the Ovel, he's the person that they're coming to be Menachem, he would somehow sit on a safsal. That's the Kohen Gadol. HaMelech. But the Melech was on a whole nother level. Loidon, he couldn't judge. V'loidon and Oisai, they didn't judge him. Loi Meid, he didn't say Eidos. V'loi Meid and Oisai, they couldn't say Eidos about him. Loi Choylitz, he couldn't do Chalitza. V'loi Choltz and Ishtai, he couldn't be Choylitz his wife. Loi Meyabim, he couldn't do Yibum. V'loi Meyabim and Ishtai, they couldn't do Yibum to his wife. Rabbi Yehuda said, Imratza Lachloitz, Oli Yabim, Zochel Atoiv. These are the Shmaki Gemaras that we're going to see in tomorrow's daf. Amrulay, they told him, I disagree, ain't Shaimim Loi. Meaning, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's just a right that the Melech has, that if he wants, he doesn't have to do Yibam V'chalitza. Doesn't have to. An ordinary Yid has to. The Melech doesn't have to. But if he wants to, Zachar Latayv, to the contrary. Chachamim say, we disagree. Ein Shaimim Loi. Ein Noisan Almanasai. Another Alocho, if the Melech dies and he leaves over an Almana, nobody's allowed to marry the Melech's Almana. Rabbi Yehuda says, Noisei HaMelech Almanasai Shal Melech, that it's true, an ordinary person, a Hedyet, was not allowed to marry the Almana of a Melech. But a Melech is allowed to marry the Amon of a Melech, Shekein Matzino B'David, and this Gemara is going to segue us into some beautiful Agadita, because you find by David HaMelech, Shenasa Amonase Shal Shal, he married Amon of Shal, Shenema Ve'etna L'chaz, Beis Adin Nechaves, and Shnei Adin Nechav B'chekechas. Either way, the first part of the Mishnah discusses the Kohen Gadol, the second part of the Mishnah discusses the Melech is more chamor than the Kohen Gadol. So, for, whereas the Kohen Gadol was done, V'donen Oisei Meidu, Me'idin Oisei Choylitz, V'choltzen L'ishtu, Me'yabines Ishtu, all of the above is not okay when it comes to the Melech. As a matter of fact, the Chachamim hold Ein Noisin Almanasei Shemelech. No one's allowed to ever, not just Yibum, you can never marry the Alman of a Melech. Rabbi Yehuda said that it's true, a regular person can't, a Melech can. Again, everything will be discussed in much greater detail in the Gemara. So the Gemara, Kohen Gadol Domshi. First halacha in the Mishnah was that a Kohen Gadol could be a member of a Bezdin. Freit the Gemara, obviously, why not? So the Gemara done in this Shrichalei. Now the Chiddush is not that he can be done, that he can be a Dayan. The Chiddush is that we can judge him. Meaning, I would have thought somehow that the Kohen Gadol is beyond reproach. Somehow the Kohen Gadol, you cannot judge. But the Gemara says, Anami Pshita, that's also Pashat. Because once I know that he himself can be a judge, it means that he can be judged. Because Eloi Daninun Le Ihu Hechi Dayan, if he cannot be judged, how could he be a judge? Fuck, see, the pasuk says it's Koshu V'Koshu. Amar Yishal Koshu V'Koshu said, K'shoit Atzmach V'Achik HaK'shoit Acherim. You have to practice what you preach. You cannot do something onto somebody else if you're not. So if you're going to tell me that the Kohen Gadol could be a judge, it means he could be judged. Because if you're someone that can't be judged, you are not qualified to judge somebody else. Elo. So what's the chiddush of Kohen Gadol don v'don enoisai? L'chura pshita. Again, the fact that a Kohen Gadol could judge is pasha. Why shouldn't he be able to be a member of the Sanhedrin? And once I know he could judge, he obviously can be judged. Because if he couldn't be judged, then he couldn't judge. Says the Gemara, Ela Aidi, the boy, Lemisni, Melech, Loidon, V'loidon enoisai. Now the chiddush is really nothing. But being that the Mishnah later was going to say in the Sefer regarding the Melech, that the Melech is different. He's on a different level. He cannot be a judge, nor can he be judged. So it's for that reason that we mentioned the Reish. And there is no Chiddush per se in Kohen Gadol Don V'Don Enoisai. The Chiddush is Melech Loidon V'Loidon Enoisai. And Agav, once we're mentioning that the Melech is Loidon V'Don Enoisai, we mentioned that the Kohen Gadol is Don V'Don Enoisai. Iba Yisei Mahakam Ashman. Could be the Rizek. If I'm going to the Braiso, Kohen Gadol, Charekes HaNefesh, B'Mezid Nerek. A Kohen Gadol that kills somebody B'Mezid is Chayim Miso. B'Shoigeg, if Kohen Gadol kills somebody B'Shoigeg, Goyla, he goes to Golas. V'Oiver Al Asei V'Aloi Sasei, which at first glance just seems bizarre. A Kohen Gadol's Oiver on an Asei and Aloi Sasei, the Gemara is going to say, just because he's a Kohen Gadol, he's over on an Aseh and a Lois Aseh, so we'll see that on Amid Beis. The Gemara will explain that as well. So let's break down the Braisa, one piece at a time. The first part of the Braisa was, Kohen Gadol that kills the Nezid, Nerek, Pshita. So the Gemara, you're right. B'shoigig goyle itzrichle. The Chiddush is that if he kills B'shoigig, he goes to Golas. Hanami Pshita, itzrichle. Here there's already a Chiddush. So good, I mean, I would have thought, Hayo v'kasa, being that the Pasuk says that when somebody kills somebody B'shoigig, he goes to Golas. And how long does he go to Golas? Kadosha, but Ad Moisak Kohen Gadol. He should be there until the Kohen Gadol dies. Ema, I would have thought, called Isle Takanta Bechazara Geshmaki Gemara. Any person who can leave Golos when the Kohen Gadol dies, legally, he should go to Golos. But the less late Takanta Bechazara, but if he has no way of leaving when the Kohen Gadol dies, why not? Because he himself is the Kohen Gadol. So legally, maybe he shouldn't go to Golos. Ditnan, as a matter of fact, it's a Mishnah Hori Kohen Gadol. If somebody kills the Kohen Gadol, a Kohen Gadol, Shahar Ages HaNefesh, any Yotzei Misham Lo'olam, he can never leave. And what we need is the second part of that Mishnah. A Kohen Gadol that kills somebody never leaves, because the way to leave is when the Kohen Gadol dies, and he himself is the Kohen Gadol. So I would have thought, Emo Lo'olegli, Kamash Malon, that's why it's certainly a Chiddush. So you're right, there's no Chiddush that if a Kohen Gadol kills B'mezid, he's killed. The Chiddush is that if he kills B'shoigig, he goes to Golos. And once we mention that a Kohen Gadol kills B'shoigig, he goes to Golos, which is a Chiddush. So we mention that a Kohen Gadol is B'mezid is Chai Misa. Freit Gemara of Emo Achinami. Maybe if a Kohen Gadol kills B'shoigig, he really shouldn't go to Golos. Amakra, it's learned that from a Pasuk, Lonu Shama Ko. Roitzeach afilu koyin gadol b'mashma over al aseh v'aloisei. The Brisa continued and said that a koyin gadol is over on an aseh and aloisei. Faith the Gemara loisagi the loyover. For sure, just because he's a koyin gadol, he's going to for sure be over on an aseh and aloisei. The Gemara says hachi kamar im over al aseh v'aloisei hareu lehedi l'chol dvar. What it means is that if he's over on an aseh or if he's over on aloisei, something for which he should get malchus. The halacha is hareyu kehedyet l'chol dvarav. He gets treated like a hedyet, and just like a hedyet that's chayav malchus needs to be judged by a bezdin shel shloisha, so to the kohen gadol that did something for which he's chayav malchus will be judged by a bezdin shel shloisha. Freit the Gemara pshita. Why would I think that you need a larger bezdin than a bezdin shel shloisha to judge the kohen gadol? What's the answer? It's an easy answer. So could I? I mean, I would have thought, hell, if it's not we learned in the first Mishnah. And don aloyas hashevet. Exactly. V'loyas navi hasheker. V'loyas a kohen gadol el al pi bezdin shel shivim ve'echad. V'amar Rav Adam bar Rahav. Rav Adam bar Rahav said, there's a makar. Kol adover agadol yaviyei lech. Dvarav shel gadol all have to be brought in front of Moshe, who was like the best in Shalai and Aleph. Say, Ema, I would have thought, Kol Dvarav Shal Gadol. So, just like the Dine Nefashis of a Bez, of the Kohen Gadol has to be brought in front of a Bez in Shalai and Aleph, so to the Malkus of the Kohen Gadol should have to be brought in front of a Bez in Shalai and Aleph. Kamash Malon. That's the Chiddush. That's not the way it works. Freit the Gemara, Ema Hachinami. Maybe you should. Kol Dover Hagadol Yovio Elecha Dvarav Shal Gadol. Sok the Gemara Miksiv Divrei Gadol Ha Dover Hagadol Ksiv. It says it with the Hey Ayidia Dover Gadol Mamish. It has to be a Dover Gadol Mamish. Okay, so how did we come into this? We had a kasha. The kasha was Kohen Gadol Don. The fact that a Kohen Gadol can be judged is pasha. So the Gemara said, you're right, Don in Oisai it's Trichalei. But the Gemara said, that's also Pashat. Because once I know that he can judge, obviously he could be judged. Because if he couldn't be judged, he wouldn't be able to judge. So the Gemara said, Tuterusam. The first teretz was, could be there's no Chiddush. Kohen Gadol Don V'Don in Oisai, Pshita. Everyone knows that. No, the Mishnah is going to tell me the Melech is Loi Don V'Loi Don in Oisai. So once we wanted to say, Melech Loi Don V'Loi Don in Oisai, Agav, we mentioned Kohen Gadol Don V'Don in Oisai. Iba Yisema, the second teretz of the Gemara is, it could be the Chiddush is Don in Oisai. What was the kasha? What's the Chiddush Don in Oisai? If I know he's done, I know Don in Oisai. The Chiddush is not Don in Oisai per se, but the Chiddush is Don in Oisai kehedyet. I would have thought that Don in Oisai in a different way, Bezdin Shalayin Aleph. Because just like Dinei Nefashis is Bezdin Shalayin Aleph, maybe even the Malkus is going to be Bezdin Shalayin Aleph. Kamash Malon, Don in Oisai is like an ordinary person, and just like an ordinary person, a Hedyet, when it comes to Malkus, he gets judged with a Bezdin Shal Gimel. So too, here, he gets judged by a Bezin Shal Gimel. Don in Oisai means Harehu Kehedyet L'chol Dvarav. So before we go weiter, just to exhale for one moment, we don't usually do this much Gemara without stopping, so just to exhale for one moment, just one aura. That is, so we had a Gemara where the Gemara said that there was a Solka Daitach, there was a Havamina, that if the Kohen Gadol would kill somebody B'Shoigig, maybe he wouldn't go to Golos. Why not? Because the pasuk says v'yashav ba ad moisa kohen gadol. When somebody kills somebody b'shoigig, he stays there until the kohen gadol dies. So ema ichvolt gevolt nainin called islay takanta b'chazara legally. Somebody that has this get out of jail card should go to Golos in the first place. But the less late takanta b'chazara, but someone who doesn't have that option of being able to leave loy legally, mash malon. It says, "Lanu shama kol reitzeach afilu kohen gadol b'mashma." What came to mind was a classic meshech halacha. That is, we know that there were six ari miklat that Moshe Rabbeinu was told that he would have to establish. Three of them he established, Eve Yarden. The other three he didn't get a chance to establish. It was Yeshua Ben Nun and Elazar Kohen Gadol. It happened in Eretz Yisrael. But the Mishnah, Mesechtes Makkos, says a Chiddush, that the three Ari Miklat that were Be'ever Yarden didn't work. They weren't Koilet until the three that were in Eretz Yisrael were already Miyushav. They were already established. It's learned that from a Pasuk, Sheish Ari Miklat Yena. Why does the Torah have to do the math for us? To tell me that they have to be a unit of six. And either they operate as a unit of six or they don't operate at all. So the three Be'ever Yarden, which technically were established before the three in Eretz Yisrael, they didn't work. So if somebody killed somebody b'shoigig and he ran to one of the Ari Miklat and Eiver HaYardin, it's a sugi mesechtes makis, it didn't work. It did not protect the Ritzach b'shoigig. If the Goyal Adam would walk into their Miklat, put a bullet into the Ritzach b'shoigig's head, the Goyal Adam would be okay. Meaning, there was no protection of their Miklat. When did the three Be'ever HaYardin protect? It was only after the three in Eretz Yisrael were already established, when it was Sheish, Ari, Miklat, Tiana, when you had six in total, it was only then that it worked. The question is why? What's the pshat? Oh, it's a pasuk. It's Xeris HaKosim. It says, Rameir Simcha, in Meshech Chachma, I'm going to tell you the psychology of this halacha. It's very deep, and it's very profound. It says Rameh Simcha, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes a person, he does so bediktuk gadol. Hashem doesn't punish people high level. Oh, this person's going to get this, this person's going to get that. Every single nuance, every trial and tribulation, every nisayon that comes along with anything that Hashem throws in somebody's direction is becheshbon gadol. It's 1,000% exactly the way it's supposed to be. So let's look at it from the standpoint of the Ritzach B'shoigig. Somebody killed somebody B'shoigig. Even though he did a B'shoigig, he needs kapara. What's his kapara going to be? He has to go to an Ir Miklat. He has to be in the Ir Miklat, away from his family, not a great life. That's what his punishment is going to be. But at the same time, that punishment was tempered. It was tempered by the fact that he knew he had an option. What was the option? It's possible that he's going to get a phone call that the Kohen Gadol just died, and if the Kohen Gadol dies, he now has an ability to get out. So in theory, he was given a life sentence, meaning he may be there for the rest of his life. But it's not a real life sentence, because there is the possibility that tomorrow he's going to go out. How so? If the Kohen Gadol is going to die. And that's all part of the equation. That's all part of the punishment that Hashem wanted. Hashem wanted this person to go away for the rest of his life, but at the same time, have the hope, the huffening, that maybe tomorrow morning he's going to be told that the Kohen Gadol just died and he's going to be able to get out right away. That is the punishment. That is the punishment of every Ritzach B'shoigig. Said Rameh Simcha something unbelievable. He said that if somebody would have killed somebody B'shoigig, Be'ever HaYarden, before the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael, before they conquered the land, and before they established other three Ari Miklat, that person that would have gone to Golis would not have had the hope that maybe the Kohen Gadol is going to die tomorrow and maybe he's going to be able to get out. You know why? Because who was the Kohen Gadol at the time? Elazar Kohen Gadol. And Hashem had told Yeshua ben Nun and Elazar Kohen Gadol that they're going to be the ones that are going to conquer Eretz Yisrael. They're going to divide Eretz Yisrael. A Nevuah Toiva has to happen. We just spoke that out. A Nevuah Toiva has to happen. That means if Hashem already said that Elazar Kohen Gadol is going to be around long enough to divide Eretz Yisrael, that means it wasn't possible that Elazar Kohen Gadol was going to die. Because there was a Nevuah Toiva that Elazar Kohen Gadol has to be the one to be manchel and then to later distribute, to be mechalik Eretz Yisrael. That means if somebody would have been a Ritzach B'shoigig at that moment, that person would have gone to Golos, but he wouldn't have had the hope that maybe he's going to find out the Kohen Gadol died. Because the Kohen Gadol has to be around for some time. Because the Kohen Gadol is Elazar Kohen Gadol, and there's a Nevuah Toiva for Elazar that he's going to be alive. By the way, it turned out 14 years, right? 7 years, they conquered the land, another 7 years to divide the land. So Elazar Kohen Gadol was going to be around for the first 14 years, and this was predestined. There was no, he didn't need Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. He was going to live, because there was a Nevuah Toiva that he was going to be alive, which meant that the Ritzeach was going to have a punishment that was worse than what the Torah had in mind. That punishment, says Rameh Simcha, when you know you're going away for 15 years or whatever it is, that's cruel and unusual. That's not what the Torah had in mind. The Torah had them on, go away, but no, there's hope. Every night you can go to sleep. Every day you can daven. That's why they used to daven. That's why the mothers of the Kehanim Gedolim used to try to get on their good side. They didn't want to daven. But there was a hope. There was tikvah for every Ritzach B'Shoigeh that maybe they'll get out, except for those Ritzach B'Shoigeh. So that's why until they established the three Ari Miklot in Eretz Yisrael, until that time, until there was already six, now a Lazak and Gadol can die, now it's already Shaykh for the three Ari Miklot to work. But I think it's a Mefurish Gemara. It's the Havamin of this Gemara. The less leitakanta bechazor loyligli. What's the tifkat in the Gemara? The tifkat in the Gemara is not just that if you don't have this prat, this sif cotton in the laws of Golas, maybe there's no halach of Golas. It's much deeper than that. This is the punishment. If this person goes to Golas and he doesn't have the hope of getting out, that is too chomer. That's cruel and unusual. That's not what the Torah had in mind. If that's not what the Torah had in mind, I would have thought that maybe you shouldn't go to Golas. The Torah is a pasuk. Lo nesham al koretzech. This is an exception to the rule. This is a pasuk. But without a pasuk and a chinami, there was a svara to say that maybe he should not go to Golas. May it. So the Mishnah said, Kohen Gadol, Don V'Don Anoisei. We just had to shot him what the Chiddush of Don V'Don Anoisei is. Meid, he could say Eidos, Umeidin Anoisei, and others could say Eidos about him. Freit the Gemara, Meid, a Kohen Gadol says Eidos, but time we went to the Braiso, V'Hisalamto. Now, where does it say that? By the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. This is a Perek Eilu Mitzvah's faith. So it says in the Torah, Loisucha Lesale, right? If you see an Aveda, you have to. Loisucha Lesale, Vesalamta, it's an Asay, it's a Loisase, it comes up in all the sugis of Tchia. Vesalamta, Pomim Sha'ata Mesalem, Upomim Shi'ata Mesalem. There are times you're allowed to be Mesalem, and there are times you're not allowed to be Mesalem. Meaning, just like it says Loisucha Lesale, but it also says Vesalamta. There's a time where if you see an Aveda, you have a right to look away. Okay, it's that. So Chazal gave three examples. Koyev Hubeves Akfaris. A Koyein does not go into a Beis HaKfaris to return somebody's Aveda. Zokein ve'eno l'fichvaydei. Or if the person that sees the Aveda is a Zokein and it's eno l'fichvaydei for him to walk around with this Aveda. Or if this person makes a lot of money and if he's going to stop his work to go take care of this Aveda, it's going to come at a loss. The halach is, he's not mechuyev to do it. But what's the kasha? One of the three mentioned is Zokein ve'eno l'fichvaydei. And the Gemara holds, you see from here, you saw it. Not just the halacha, a detail in the laws of Hashavas Aveda. But really, a yesod that you can cut and paste throughout Shas. And that is that any time there's a mitzvah, I'm faced with an obligation. But I'm a zokin, and it's einol afichvaydi, maybe I'm not obligated to do it. So it's true, if somebody knows edus about somebody else, it says in the Torah, v'im lo yagid v'nos avoyna, he has an obligation to go and testify. He has an obligation to say edus. But at the same time, perhaps if it's a zokin, v'einol afichvaydi, maybe in that context, he's not going to be obligated. So for the Gemara, it's einol afichvaydi for the Kohen Gadol to walk in the Beis Hamikdash to say edus. So based on that, l'chayro, the Kohen Gadol should be potter from saying edus. So what does the Mishnah say Kohen Gadol is made? Why is it not considered zokin the enelach v'chfoyde am Rabbi Yisro? Yisro said meil melech. It's talking about what he was saying. Eidos about the king. Oh, he's saying Eidos about the king. So it's true. Maybe for a Kohen Gadol to say Eidos is enelach v'chfoyde, but to say Eidos about the melech, that's already very much l'fichfoyde. It's a big covet that he's in the courtroom together with the king. It's a kibbut. But the Gemara says, how can you say Eidos about the king? But Tanan, the Mishnah said loy dan v'loy dan enoisai, referring to the king. Loy meid v'lo meid enoisai. You're not allowed to say Eidos about the king. Elo am Rabbi Zeira meid l'ben melech. You're right. He's not saying Eidos about the king. He's saying Eidos about the ben melech. Ben melech could be testified. You could say Eidos about him. At the same time, it's also a covet. But the Gemara says, not true. Ben Melech had you too. Ben Melech is Stam had you. Ella says, the Gemara made it Bifnei Melech. You're not saying Eidos about the king. It's not the Ben Melech, but the Melech was present in the court. But the Gemara understands that what does it mean the Melech was present? That he was a member of the Sanhedrin. But Sanhedrin, you know, let me point the Melech, right? Loi Don, he can't be a member of the Sanhedrin. So the Gemara says, Vishum the current Kohen Gadol, Asa v'yasev. Because of the covenant of Kohen Gadol, the Melech would come. Mekabli l'halei sadusi. He'd sit there while he was mekabel the Eidos. Koi. And then he would leave. So he would make a cameo appearance just to be there for the time that Kohen Gadol was going to say Eidos, so that it should be covered. Rashi says that it's the only time the Melech would come, and the only time it would be a covet for the Melech, maybe is if the Ben Melech is the one that's defendant. So Rashi somehow integrates the Gemara's teretz of Ben Melech and Bifnei Melech together. But either way, that's what the Gemara says. Gufo. Ein Moishivin Melech B'Sanhedrin. We just mentioned the halacha that Ein Moishivin Melech B'Sanhedrin. V'loi Melech V'Kohen Gadol B'Ibur Shana. And you're not allowed to appoint a melech or a kohen gadol when it comes to ibushana. So we learned a lot about ibushana in the first parak, 3, 5, 7, right? You had to be invited by the nasi. It was a very big deal. So a melech or the kohen gadol couldn't be involved when it came to ibushana. Says the Gemara, say melech b'sanhedrin. The first part of the brisa that says that you can't appoint a melech in the sanhedrin. I understand dichsib because it says leisane al riv. And we darshin loisane al rav. You're not allowed to argue with somebody very chashuv. So you can't argue with the melech. So if the melech is going to be a member of the Sanhedrin, you can never argue with him. If you can't argue with him, it's just not good for constructive shakla v'tayya. So it's for that reason the melech couldn't be a member of the Sanhedrin. Why melech can gadol ibrashana? The melech and the kohen gadol couldn't sit in on ibrashana. Why not? Melech mishum aspanya. Rashi says because the melech used to pay an annual fee to people that worked for him. But the fee was annual, meaning he paid it for the year. So if there were 12 months in the year, the number that he paid was amortized, it was divided by 12. If there were 13 months in the year, because they were ma'abed hashana, it was divided by 13. So it was always in the melech's interest for there to be 13 months of the year, because he gets to save a few shekels by the fact that his dollar amount is being divided not by 12, but is being divided by 13. Kain Gadol Mishum Tzina. The reason the Kain Gadol wasn't trusted to be part of the Ibur Shana, because he also had an incentive. His incentive wasn't to push off, not to be Ma'abed Hashana. To the contrary, he didn't want to be Ma'abed Hashana. The reason is because if they'd be Ma'abed Hashana, then sometimes Yom Kippur would fall out in the winter, got pushed off a month, it gets really cold, and Kain Gadol doesn't want it to be cold, because the Kain Gadol had to do 5 tefillos, and he had to be Mekadosh Yadayim V'Raglayim 10 times. He's changing his clothing so he doesn't want to get sick. So just for those reasons, it was something we were afraid that maybe his negias would manipulate. Now, by the way, at first glance, really, we're talking about the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol is worried about a little draft. The Teretz is, we're talking Bayesheni. That's always the answer. Anytime you have a kasha like this, hashtag Bayesheni. Amarapapa. But Rapapa said that really this last brisa, parenthetically, is a little bit of chiddush to me. Shmami, no, you see from here that Shasa basa yarcha azal. Meaning, the Gemara said that the Kohen Gadol may be incentivized not to be Ma'abed Hashana. Because if you're going to be Ma'abed Hashana, then you're going to end up having Cheshvin's weather in Tishrei. Right? Because you just pushed Tishrei into where Cheshvin would have been. So really, it would have been Cheshvin. Now it's Tishrei, so the weather is going to be a little bit colder. As if to say that when the Ma'abed Hashana, the weather of the new month is what it would have been. Meaning, so Adar Sheni ends up getting what Nisan's weather would have been. Fast forward to the winter time, which is what the Gemara is discussing, Tishrei ends up having the weather that Mar Cheshvin would have had. Now, it seems rather obvious, right? But the Gemara says, Eini, this is not so, because Bahanach, Gimel, Raye Bakar, there were 3 shepherds, 3 Raye Bakar. Vishamidu Rabban of the Kamri, the Rabban heard them talking, and Wachadama once said, in Bakar Velakish, Kechade Yantz, he said, if the wheat and the barley both sprout at the same time, Dein Hu Adar, then I know that this month is supposed to be Adar. The Imlav, and if not, Leistin Adar. It means that it's not supposed to be Adar. It's really supposed to be Shvat. V'chad Amar once said, Im Tor B'Tzvar B'Klos Yomus, if the axe gets really, really cold in the morning, he almost dies in the morning because it's so cold. But if B'Tihar in the afternoon, B'Tul Te'ena Yidmoich Yishlach Mashke, then it, to the contrary, he's very comfortable. Deinu Adar, must be its Adar. The Imlav, and if flat, leis Deinu Adar. The Chadoma and the other one said, Im Kidum Takuf L'Chada Yehei, that if the Kidum, that's the eastern wind, is really strong, Yipach Belayach Nafik L'Givle, and yet, the cold of winter has subsided to such a degree that you can knock it out with a little breath. Deinu Adar. The Imlav, leis Dein Adar, the Ibru Rabban Alehi Shasa. But the point is that the Rabban heard what these Roy Baku were saying. And the Roy Baku were saying that, you know, they were able to tell just based on the season whether this should be Adar or it should be Shvat. Whether this should be Adar or this should be Nisan. And the Rabban listened to what they said and they were Ma'abed Hashana based on what they were saying. As if to say that Tishrei weather should never fall out of Cheshvan. Adar Sheni weather should never fall out of Nisan. To the contrary, if you have a sense that by not being Ma'abed Hashana, the seasons are going to be messed up, that's a reason to be Ma'abed Hashana. Or if you get a sense that by being Ma'abed Hashana, the seasons are going to be messed up, that's a reason not to be Ma'abed Hashana. There's a certain weather, climate, that you expect the world to have Nisan and then Iyar and then Sivan. And we're ma'abir the Shana to make sure that it actually works out the way it's supposed to work out. Because these farmers were saying that they were able to tell whether or not this was supposed to be a Shvat or another, and based on that, the Rabbanu went ahead and they made a decision. So what are we saying? That the Kohen Gadol may be chashur by a shame of manipulating the Ibur Shana because he doesn't want Cheshvin weather in Tishrei. If there's going to be Cheshvin weather in Tishrei, that means there's going to be other weather in Shvat, right? Just do the math. And the Chachamim anyway is going to be Ma'abed Hashana. Or anyway is not going to be Ma'abed Hashana. They're anyways taking into consideration when it comes to be Ma'abed Hashana, the season of the time. So why is there a chash that really we should be Ma'abed Hashana? But the Kohen Gadol, he's going to be one of the 357, and he's going to, because of an agenda that he has, he doesn't want it to be too cold, he's going to say, don't be Ma'abed Hashana. His agenda is a real agenda. If there's a real concern that it's going to be cold, that you're going to end up with Cheshvin Wither and Tishrei, then everybody would agree not to be Ma'abed Hashana. That's the Gemara's kasha. But the Gemara says, V'tizra Rabbanan Aravasa Samach, does this Gemara make sense? Anyways, the Rabbanan overheard three Raya Bakar, boom, they decide to be Ma'abed Hashana. It's quite complicated. They went to Rabbi Akiva and the Beis Asurim, right? Remember the Gemara in the first parak, and he listed out all the different years in the future when you have to be Ma'abed Hashana. It's quite complex. Three shepherds with an education are not qualified to tell the Rabbanon when to be Ma'abed Hashana. Says the Gemara, El Rabbana Chushbanayu Samach. This whole Gemara shouldn't be taken literally. The Rabbanon had their Chushbanis. V'roi Bok Istayu Yehuda Istayu Milsayu. They were just lending some credence to something that the Rabbanon had decided anyways based on their Chushbanis. But there's no question in the world that the Rabbanon were not going to decide to be Ma'abed Hashana, not to be Ma'abed Hashana, based on what these Roi Bok are said. Either way, Zokta Gemara Vayter. We get into the Yevamis portion of Masechta Sanhedrin. And that is Choyletz V'Choyletz and Lishlis. So the Mishnah said that when it comes to the Kohen Gadol, so Choyletz V'Choyletz and Lishlis. Kohen Gadol could do Chalitza. Kohen Gadol's brother could do Chalitza on the Kohen Gadol's wife. The Kohen Gadol's brother could do Yibum on the Kohen Gadol's wife, assuming the Kohen Gadol died. But the Kohen Gadol himself can't do Yibum. And the reason is, Rinesha Asa Ba'almana. Zokta Gemara. Kapasik V'Tani. Loishna Mina Erisin. V'loishna Mina Nesu. Bishloim Mina Nesu. And Bishloim Almana Mina Nesu. And I understand why the Kohen Gadol can't do. Because even though Mitzvah's Yibum is a Mitzvah's Asay Dei Raisa, Yavama Yavayalel. But for an Kohen Gadol not to marry an almana is a mitzvah saseh, and it's a mitzvah lois saseh. It's an saseh because it says in the Torah besula yikach. An almana is not a besula. It's a lois saseh because it says in the Torah almana lo yikach. You're not letting marry almana. So this shloima an almana min anasuin who's not a besula. So it comes out for the Kohen Gadol to marry her, he'd be over an essa and a lois saseh. The essa is besula yikach. The lois saseh is almana lo yikach. So I understand why he can't do yibum, because even though yibum's an saseh, the in saseh doichol. But why can't the Kohen Gadol do Yibum? By Almana Mina Erisin, you only have a Lois Asay, Almana Lo Yikach. You don't have the Asay of Besula Yikach. Why not? Because all she had was Erisin. If all she had was Erisin, there was no Bia Rishayna. If there's no Bia Rishayna, she's a Besula. So you don't have the Asay of Besula Lo Yikach. It's Freik the Gemara, Amai Yova Yasay, let the Asay of Yavama Yova Yalev, Yitcha Lois Asay. This is Asay Doicha Lois Asay 101. Zok the Gemara, this is also Gemara Yevamos Daf Chaf and Aleph. So the Gemara says it's true. Midai Raisa, absolutely. There's no question. The Yibum would be okay, but it's Midai Rabbanan that it's not okay because the mitzvah saseh of Yibum is only the Bi'ur Rishona. The Bi'ur Shnia is already not a mitzvah. So Enochinami, the Bi'ur Rishona would be no problem. You'd have a say Dechalei saseh, but there'll be a Bi'ur Shnia, or there's a possibility there might be a Bi'ur Shnia. So Gzera Bi'ur Rishona Atu Bi'ur Shnia. It's for that reason that it's also Tanya Nami Hachi Araya in Kadmu Ubalu Bi'ur Rishona Kano. Brisa that says that if the Kohen Gadol went ahead and he did bia on the Salmon of Erisin, that loch is that the Yibum is chal. However, but you're not going to stay married to her. You have to divorce her because we're afraid you might come to a Bi'ishnia. What do you see from this? You see that this halacha, that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to be miyabin in Almanam and Erisin, is takanada dindai raisa. Because if it was a dindai raisa, the halacha would not be in Baal Ukanu. The Chamesh Esrei Noshin that I mentioned, the first mission of Masechtas Yevamos, that's poshut if the Yavam would go ahead and do Yibum, the Yibum would be michal, Ibal Ulaikanu. Because there's no Zika, there's no din Yibum. Over here, there really is a din Yibum. Midday Raisa, you could do Yibum. Because Midday Raisa, Esa Doichalaisasa. Narvas, this Xero Bi Rishonu ought to be a Shnia. It's for that reason, Bidi Eved im Kodmu Balu. The halacha is, it works, but at the same time, we are worried about the Bi Shnia. And it's for that reason, the Asul Lekaimon, Bibiyashnia. So just three ha'aris, three yavamis digaris, go down memory lane a little bit. Two of them are Yesoidis and Mesechtis Yavamis that are really tucked away right here on this daf. Mesechta Sanhedrin, Daf Yotes, one over here, one is on Amud Aleph, the other one is on Amud Beis, but three ha'aras regarding Mesechta Zivamis. The first ha'ara. So the Gemara asked the Kasha that I understand Almana min anasuin, why the halach is a Kohen Gadol can't do Yibam, because it's an asay and a lois asay, vein asay, doich a lois asay, but Almana min Eris, and all it is a lois asay. The lois asay of Almana yikach, but Basula yikach. You're not necessarily violating that because all there was Erisin. So why don't we say that the Aseh of Yibam should be Deicha, the Lois Aseh of Amon Olo Yikach? The Mechas Chinuch, a Mitzvah Aleph, brings from the Sefer Tosfos Yom HaKippurim, which was written by the Mechaber of the Kappos Tmara. He asked in Mesechtis Yuma, Daf I Pei Vav Amid Beis, that he doesn't understand the Gemara's Kasha. The Gemara asked the Kasha that let the Aseh of Yibam be Deicha, the Lois Aseh of Almano lo yikach. Who has the mitzvah saseh of Yibam? The Yavam. Yavam or Yavay Oleh. Whenever there's a Yibam, the Yavam has a mitzvah saseh. Does the Yavam have a mitzvah saseh? It doesn't say anywhere that the Yavam has an assay. All it says is that the Yavam has an assay. When it comes to the lois saseh of Almano lo yikach, we know the Gemara says that all the Surei Biyah, the Zachar and the Nekeva are Shav. So sometimes the Torah mentions it from the Zohar standpoint, sometimes from the Nekeva standpoint, but Huchshu Kol Araya Zelazeh, and the Gemara says it's true with regards to Chayvei Lavin as well. All these Surei Biyah in the Torah, there's never a difference that he, the male, has the Avera, but the female doesn't. There's no such thing. If he has the Isra, she has the Isra. That means if the Torah said that the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry Almana, it means the Almana is not allowed to marry Kohen Gadol either. So Freik the Tosfos Yom HaKippurim Gevaldig. Who has the Aser Vayibum? Only he has the assay, Yavama Yavala. Who has the Lois assay? They both have it. So Enochinami, his assay could be Doicha, his Lois assay. But she also has the Lois assay, and she doesn't have the assay. So how could his assay be Doicha, her Lois assay? I'm doing the Lois assay, and I'm doing an assay. So I get it. I could do the Lois assay because I have the assay. But she, who has the Lois assay and doesn't have the assay, so Enochinami, Mitzadi Yavam, there's no issues, but Mitzadi Yavam, there's a problem. So maybe that's Peshat of the Mishnah. You want to know why the Mishnah says the Kohen Gadol can't do Yibum, Loishnam and Erisin, Loishnam and Anasuin? Because even in an Erisin, where all it is a Lois assay, she has the Lois assay, she doesn't have the assay. We're just as worried about her as we're worried about him. So Enochinami, he has assay, Deicha Lois assay, but she doesn't have assay, Deicha Lois assay. So the emes is the Tosfos HaKippurim declares different stardom. Number one, maybe we have to be Mechadish, that she also has an assay of Yibam Yavola. And even though from the simple reading of the Torah it doesn't sound that way, sounds like it's his mitzvah, maybe she does have a mitzvah. Maybe we're going to say a chiddish, that as long as one of the two people that are being over this lois assay also has an assay, even if the other person doesn't have an assay, maybe that's enough and there's no problem. So if two people simultaneously are being over a lois assay, and one of the people has an assay, maybe that would be enough to say assay deicha lois assay, even though the other person has the lois assay without saying an assay. It's a very big chiddush. This comes into Tosfos Chagiga Daf Beis, Tosfos Bava Basra Daf Yud Gimel, Tosfos in Ksuba Slama. This is Dvarim Atikin, things that we've spoken about many, 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 many times. But just one ha'ara, where does this come into Mesechtis Yuma Daf Pei Vav Beis? If you remember the end of Mesechtis Yuma, it's all Agadata, and it talks about Tshuva and Yom Kippur and Karis and Mises Bezdin. That's the context over there. So where does this Tosfos Yom HaKippurim come? In. So it actually comes into a classic Divrei Agada. Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan said, "G'day l'tshuva. Tshuva is so great. She'daicha es lois asei shabatayr, because it's daicha lois asei in the Torah. How so? Because it says the Navi describes that when Klai Yisrael did averes, Hashem divorced Klai Yisrael. Yet when they do tshuva, Hashem takes them back. Now we know that you're not allowed to be machzir grushasai. Can't be machzir grushasai. So how could Hashem take Klai Yisrael back? Isn't he being machzir grushasai? The Teretz is tshuva." G'dayla tshuva. Klai Yisrael does tshuva. It's doicha alois haseh shebetayra. It's doicha alois haseh of machzir grushasai. Freik the kapis tomorrow min haseh siyami kippurim. G'dayla tshuva shedoicha alois haseh shebetayra. Every haseh is doicha alois haseh shebetayra. Haseh doicha alois haseh. So what's Rabbi Yochanan saying? G'dayla tshuva shedoicha alois haseh shebetayra. As if to say there's some anomaly with tshuva. Tshuva is such a great, it's not just a mitzvah. It's tshuva, it's gevaldik. It's doicha alois haseh shebetayra. Every Say is doicha lois haseh shebetayra. Zok the Tosfos Yom HaKippurim haflav a fella. He says in this case with the tshuva and the machzir grushasai, who's being over the lois haseh? Kaviyochel Hashem when he's machzir grushasai. Who's doing the haseh? Klal Yisrael when they do tshuva. Ordinarily, if Reuven's over an haseh, And Shimon is doing the loy saseh. Do you say asay deichel loy saseh? No, that's what we just said. You need the same person that's doing the loy saseh to be mekayim and asay. But the isha's loy saseh l'chayra can't be nitcha because of the yavam's asay. My asay can be deichel my loy saseh. But my asay can't be deichel your loy saseh. But what do you see by tshuva? By tshuva, you see that even though Klal Yisrael are the ones that are being mekayim and asay, and Hashem is the one that's being over the loy saseh. So the one doing the asay and the one doing the loy saseh are not the same. So ordinarily, based on the regular laws of Tchiyah, it shouldn't work. G'dayla tshuva. Tshuva is different. Tshuva is an exception. That as long as there's tshuva in the picture, even if Chaim Yankel is the one doing tshuva and Reuven is the one that did the lo yisaseh, it doesn't matter. G'dayla tshuva shadaycha lo yisaseh b'tayra. So that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's lo yisaseh kaviyochel could be nitche. If they klal Yisrael's asay, asay deichalei say, yeah, that's if it's the same person. But with somebody else, ordinarily not, Rabbi Yochanan's chiddush was that gedoyla tshuva, that's something that's going to work even over there. That's the first order. The second order is, so we had in the first part of the Mishnah discussed the laws of Yibam v'chalitza as it pertains to a kohen god. The second part of the Mishnah discussed the laws of Yibam v'chalitza as it pertains to the melech. So the kohen god was pretty straightforward. The kohen god could do anything. He could do chalitza, chalitza l'ishtai. He could be miyad v'nes ishtai. The only thing that the Kohen Gadol has an issue with, he can't do Yibum. The reason he can't do Yibum is because you're running into the Isser Almana, and even though maybe there's a Dechiyah, but Gzeir B'Yushayim to be Yishniyah, that's where you're running into problems. But when it comes to the Melech is a lot more chamur. What was the halacha about the Melech? Loi Chayleitz, he can't do Chalitza. V'loi Chaltzin Le'ishtai, he can't do Chalitza to his wife. Loi Miyabim, he can't do Yibum. V'loi Miyabim Le'ishtai, he can't do Yibum to his wife either. Now, why can't you do Chalitza? So the Gemara is going to say in the Testament Beis, the reason that he can't do Chalitza is because it's a Bezayin. Chalitza was a Dover Shel Bezayin. The woman, the Yavama, would spit at the Chalitz, so it was considered to be a Dover Shel Bezayin. And being that, we'll see more right about that tomorrow, but being that it's a Dover Shel Bezayin, it's for that reason, tomorrow. So it's a Dover Shel Bezayin, and being that it's a Dover Shel Bezayin, that's the reason that he's not allowed to do Chalitza. So I understand why he can't do Chalitza. He can't do Chalitza because it's a Bezayin. He's a Melech. Melech Shemachal, Kvaydein, Kvaydein Machal, he can't do Chalitza. What about Yibum? Why can't he do Yibum? So Rashi, and this Rashi is on Daf Yud Tesamid Beis, but it's Shayach Le'il, it says on the side, really this Rashi was supposed to be on the Mishnah. Rashi said the reason that the Melech can't do Yibum is V'yibum G'nai Hu Loi Lokum Al Shem Achir. Unbelievable. Because what's the purpose of Yibum? Have a child with your brother's wife, and through you, your brother's going to have a Hemshech. He's the Melech. The Melech over here is going, and he's going to be like the B'makim, the relief. That doesn't make sense. So for him to go ahead and to be Miyabim is also somewhat in the Lefich Foydei. That's why he can't do Yibam. So Chalitza, we understand. Yibam is a little bit of a more subtle Svara, but either way, that's what Rashi says. If you take a look at the Bar Tanura, the Rav Bar Tanura on this Mishnah, the Rav Bar Tanura says a different shot. He says the reason the Melech can't do Chalitza is because Gnayu Lo Shayach Lo, it's the Yarka Bafanov, just to spit at him. It's a Bezoyan to spit at the Melech. What about Yibum? Zokt Dehilig Rav, V'chol She'ena Bas Chalitza, Ena Bas Yibum. Once she can't do chalitza, she can't do yibum either. Because if you can't do chalitza, you can't do yibum either. The card to this Rav Bar Tanura is the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis. The Rambam right here in Pirush HaMishnayis says what the Rav is quoting, and that is that the reason the Melech can't do yibum, it's not because it's a bezayin for him to be the one that's going to make sure that his brother's not forgotten. Why is that a bezayin? That's not the point. The point is because he can't do chalitza because the Yarkub of Fanav is definitely a bezayin. The kol she'ena oilu lechalitza. Frank the Taisus Yontif. Where in the world did the Rav get this? He said, I learned Masechtis Yavamis backwards and forwards, and I know it's axiomatic throughout Yavamis that Kol She'ein Oilu L'Yibum Ein Oilu L'Chalitza. Everyone knows that. That wherever there's no Yibum, there's no Chalitza. There's a few exceptions to the rule, right? Sometimes the Halach is Chaylesis Vlemis Yavamis, but you always have to understand it. It's a Gemara's Kashi, Yavamis Tav Chafam and Aleph. How could you ever have Chaylesis Vlemis Yavamis? Why don't you say Kol She'ein Oilu L'Yibum Ein Oilu L'Chalitza? But really, what's the rule? Kol She'ein Oilu. But in the reverse, we never see that in the reverse. That kol she'ena oil lechalitza, ena oil leyibum, says the Tosfos Yontif. I never heard of such a thing. It's a tremendous chiddush. What I think pshat in this halach is what Rashi said. Not that once you can't do chalitza memelu, you can't do yibum. But there's a svara why the melech shouldn't be able to do yibum, because it's a bezoyim for him to be the one to make sure that his brother's not forgotten. Fake Rav Kivegan, Taisus Yamakipurim, Taisus Yontif, you learned Gans Pesachtes Yivomis, but I think you're forgetting a Taisvis. It's a mafurish a Taisvis. Yivomis, daf mem dalit amen aleph. The Gemara over there brings this halacha. Kol she oilu yibum oilu lechalitza, the kol she ain oilu yibum ain oilu lechalitza. The im toim afrei Taisus. Taisus says, I have one kash on this yisoid. Vari cheresh v'chareshes. A cheresh v'chareshes. Cheresh in the Torah is always an eno shemeya v'eno medaber. The einon oilam v'chalitza, where the halach is that they're not oilam v'chalitza v'oilam v'yibom. The halach is that a cheresh could do yibom, but a cheresh can't do chalitza. The Gemara says the reason a cheresh can't do chalitza is because part of chalitza involves talking, v'omar, v'omra. A cheresh, chareshes, they both can't talk. Being that they can't talk, they're excluded from the parish of chalitza. But yibum doesn't involve talking, so they can do yibum. So they do yibum, they don't do chalitza. So freik toises akasha, that if you're telling me there's a yisoid, that kol she'ein oilu liyibum, ein oilu lichalitza, then luchayra, how do you understand the cheresh and the chareshes, that they do yibum and they don't do chalitza? Freik Rav Kivegar, what's the kasha? All the Gemara said was kol she'ein oilu liyibum, ein oilu lichalitza. The cheresh is the reverse. The cheresh is ein oilu lichalitza. Elamai, why do Tosfos understand that there's no difference? And if kol she'ein oilu liyibum, ein oilu lichalitza, then kol she'ein oilu lichalitza, ein oilu liyibum. And that was Tosfos kasha by cheresh. So what's fake to Tosfos Yontif on the Rav Bar Tanura and on the Rambam of the Pirush Mishnayis, who were mefarish that the reason the melech is lemiyabe is because he's loichaylets? Because once you're loichaylets, memeila you're loimiyabim. Because kol she'enoy lechalitza enoy leyibum. Freit the Tosfos Yontif. I know the Gemara says kol she'enoy leyibum enoy lechalitza, but mecha teisa kol she'enoy lechalitza enoy leyibum. Freit Rav Kivegar to mefurish the Tosfos, because Tosfos that's the kash on the Gemara. That what's pshat cheresh and chalitza. Oh, so what's the teretz? So says Rav Kivegar. The emphasis, if you look at Tosfos, Tosfos answer this kash. That you want to know why it's not a kash that the cheresh could have a din yibum and not chalitza. Ve'ishloimad the Hasam bnei chalitza ninu, ella de pumayu hu de kavlo. Kol she'ena oilu liyibom means that you don't have a din yibom. You are mufka be'etzem from being able to do yibum. The lumdus is because in order to do yibum there has to be zika, and kol she'ena oilu liyibom means there's no zika for yibum. What that means, I'm sechtes yivomus. But the point is that kol she'ena oilu liyibom means where there's something fundamentally wrong with this bond between the Yavam and the Yavama, and it's for that reason, it's so challenged that you can't do Yibam. The same would be true in the reverse. If there was something fundamentally flawed with this Zika, to the point that you can't do a Chalitza, you'd say, Kol she'ein oil Chalitza, ein oil Yibam. But the reason that a Cheresh can't do Chalitza is not because there's a fundamental flaw in the Zika. There's nothing wrong with the Zika. The Zika is a Zika. The problem is, a Ken is redded. Pumei the cup. It's like his tooth was hurting. If his mouth was hurting and he couldn't talk, would that be a svara to say, Kol she'ein oil Chalitza? A Cheresh is someone whose tooth is always hurting, whose mouth is always hurting. He's not able to utter the words of Chalitza. But the Chesaron is not in the Zika. And being that the Chesaron is not in the Zika, it doesn't pass to say, Kol she'ein oil chalitza ein liyibum. Meaning, it's true. Kol she'ein oil ein oil chalitza. And may high time and kol she'ein oil chalitza. And it's the flip side of the same coin. There's no reason it shouldn't be that way. But it has to be a real ein oil liyibum. It has to be a real ein oil chalitza. How do you define ein oil liyibum? How do you define ein oil chalitza? It means there's a flaw in the zika. Oh, there is no flaw in the zika. Punk, the cheresh can't talk. Punk, the chareshes can't talk. Zok Rav Kivegar, the same would be true by the melech. The melech, why can't he do chalitza? Because there's a fundamental flaw in the zika. No, because it's ein oil. But there's nothing wrong with it. That's not ein oil chalitza. And being that that's not ein oil chalitza, it's not a svara that should be ein oil yibum. So Zok Rav Kivegar Tatsyon to ask the kasha on the Rav and the Rambam and the Pirush Mishnayis. I never heard of such a thing. I never heard of kol she'ein oil chalitza ein oil yibum. I heard of it in the reverse. Zok Rav Kivegar, that's a tois. That's a mafurisha toisvis. Toisvis b'yuvamis mem dalem adal. But at the same time, Zok Rav Kivegar, I have a kasha on the Rav Bar Tanura. I have a kasha on the Rambam and the Pirush Mishnayis because they want to shtotsu this halacha. They want to shtotsu this halacha of kol she'ein oil chalitza, just like Tosfos said, the cheresh and chareshes is not a tzushtal, because there's nothing fundamentally flawed with the zika where you could say they're not oil lechalitza. They are oil lechalitza. Narvas pumehu de koivle. The same thing is true over here. It's only a pumehu de koivle. So it's for that reason, says Rav Kivegar, I'm not sure. I agree. Rashi had an upshat. I mean, it could be Rashi also agreed. Kol she'ein oil lechalitza in oil yibum. Like Tosfos said, but Tosfos teretz over there in Yevamos. Rav Dalman Alf would be a svara. Why you wouldn't be able to say kol she'ein oil lechalitza? say in Eilu Yibum here either. And just one final order, and that is, so going back to the Melech again. So the Melech is much more complicated when it comes to Yibum. He's loy choyletz v'loy choltzen li'ishtoy. He can't be miyabim. He can't. So loy choyletz, why not? Because it's Eilu V'chvoydim, Yarku B'fanel. Why can't he do Yibum? So that we just said. Either because Kol She'en Eilu Chalitza and Eilu Yibum, or the reason he can't do Yibum is because it's a bezoyim for him to be the one who's going to make sure that his brother's name isn't forgotten. Why can't he be miyabim his wife? That's very simple. He can't marry his almana. So if you can't marry his almana, you can't do yibum. Why can't you be choylitz his wife? So there's a Rashi. Rashi, again, which is supposed to be in our Mishnah, said three words. Mibnesha asurali nase. Hear this, Rashi? Rashi says, you know why you don't do chalitza? Because what's the purpose of chalitza? The purpose of chalitza is to allow this yavama to be able to get married. But she anyways can't get married because she's the Amon of a Melech. And the Amon of a Melech can't get married. So what's the point in doing Chalitza? Chalitza is like a get. It's like giving a woman a divorce. What's the point in giving her a divorce? She should get married to somebody else. But if she anyways can't get married to somebody else, then there's no point in the Chalitza. So you know why you don't do Chalitza? Because she anyways can't get married. So you're not accomplishing anything with the Chalitza. The whole purpose of the Chalitza would be knock out the Zika. So now she should be able to get married. But she anyways can't get married. If she anyways can't get married, there's no reason to do Chalitza. I think a very obvious tzushtel to this Rashi is the Chacham Tzvi in the Shailos Teshuva Siman Aleph, the very first Chacham Tzvi, where the Chacham Tzvi clears the Shaila. Chacham Tzvi cleared, is Chalitza a mitzvah saseh? Or is Chalitza not a mitzvah saseh? I mean, that's Pashat. Chalitza operates in a very similar vein to Gerishin. Right, remember we spoke at the night of Yehuda on that base, from the first year of Masechta Sanhedrin. We spoke about Miyun, that's Kein Dairaisa, is it Kein Gerishin, is it Kein Chalitza? Because Chalitza and Gerishin are very similar. Gerishin knocks out a marriage, Chalitza knocks out a Zika. There's a Zika between the Yavam and the Yavama, and what Chalitza does is it knocks out that Zika. So Chalitza definitely is a hakuna. It's like a get. It's something in the realm of kinyanim for sure. The question is also a mitzvah saseh? It's a parak called mitzvah chalitza, but Chamsi says that's not mucha that it's a mitzvah saseh. Is it a mitzvah saseh or is it not a mitzvah saseh? L'mayin afkemino. So for example, mitzvah shrichas kavana. Mitzvah shrichas kavana. Are you going to have the din mitzvah shrichas kavana, or are you not going to have the din mitzvah shrichas kavana? I'll pay you something geshmak. One of the rayas that Chamsi brings is from a toisvis and parak mitzvah chalitza, daf kuf dal on the base. The Gemara over there says that a katan and a ketana cannot do chalitza. Because it says ish and isha respectively in the parasha. And being that it says ish v'isha, it's for that reason that a katan and a ketana cannot do chalitza. Feita is akasha. Why do I need a pasuk to tell me that a katan and a ketana can't do chalitza? The Gemara said that b'shas chalitza, the Yavam and the Yavama respectively had to have das. They had to have das. They didn't know what they were doing. If they didn't know what they were doing, the Chalitza is not a good Chalitza. That means Chalitza fathers das. If Chalitza fathers das, and a Katan is not a bar das, so why do I need a pasuk to tell me that a Katan and a Katana can't do Chalitza? It's pasuk that a Katan and a Katana can't do Chalitza. The reason they can't do Chalitza is because they're not b'nei das. So why do I need a pasuk? Freit Chacham Tzvi, I'll ask you a gevaldige kasha. Katana, is that so pasuk that a ketana is not a bas das, and because of the fact she's not a bas das, she shouldn't be able to do chalitza? We know that a katan, who's of the age of peutos, this is the gift that keeps on giving, a katan that's of the age of peutos, old enough to understand some things, b'das acheres matna, toisa shita is, has kinyanim deiraisa. Now, if chalitza is a kinyan, who's the matna? The chalitz. Who is the acquirer, the koina? That's the isha. So l'chayra, I'll tell you why you need a pasuk for Chacham Tzvi. You know why you need a pasuk? If you have a ketana is of the age of peutos, and the chaylitz is a gadol, he could do chalitza, and she could be koina herself, b'das acheres makna. How could she be koina herself, b'das acheres makna? Because b'das acheres makna, peutos are koina even when they rise. So it's shita throughout Shas. So what's freik toisvis? Why do I need a pasuk? That's why I need a pasuk. I need a pasuk for a ketana who's peutos, who bedas acheres makna could be koina. Zok tachachat Tzvi, that would only work if the whole din das that you have to have in order to do chalitza is because it's a kinyan, and every kinyan needs das. So then you'll tell me, pe'utois, bedas acheres makna, you have a toisvis, and in Mesechtes Gittin, another place in Shas, you have it all worked out. But if you're going to tell me chalitza is a mitzvah, there's another reason you need das. Because mitzvahs, tzrichas kavana, says the Chacham Tzvi according to most poskim. So mitzvahs, tzrichas kavana, you need das chalitza to have be able to be mekayim the mitzvah. And if you're not mekayim the mitzvah, l'chayus ishkei chalitza. So ibazoi, it's very good. So that even if you're peutois and you have das acheres makna, that just means the koine doesn't have to have das. The kinyan can be mechal with the das makna. So everything is going to be fine. But if there's a new mechayev, what's the mechayev? The mechayev is mitzvah shrichas kavana. That's not going to help me that you're peutois. It's not going to help me that you're das acheres makna. So l'chayu from the fact that Tosis asked the kasha and Tosis didn't say that it could be I need the pasuk al koponim by Kitana for a case where she's peutais, but that's a cheres makna because it could be tais herself that you need more dance than that because chalis is a mitzvah, and if it's a mitzvah you have to have mitzvah tzrichas kavana, and that's a cheres makna is not going to help you for mitzvahs tzrichas kavana. Another raya that he throws into the mix, and that is that we know the halacha is that an oinein is potter in our mitzvahs. An oinein is potter from all mitzvahs. That's the halacha of an oinein, and the if an oinein is potter in our mitzvahs, it should come out that an oinein wouldn't be able to do chalitza. Okay, so oinein can't do chalitza. Why do I care? He says, I'll tell you why I care. Because we know the Gemara says that in order for someone to be chayiv in yibum, it has to be that b'shas nefilas yibum, there was a chi of yibum. But if there was no din yibum, b'shas nefilas yibum, it's what's known in Masechtas Yivam, it says, nesra, kivin she nesra shov achas, then shov, right, at that point, there's never going to be a din yibum. It's a freik, the chacham tzvi, a charifos. He says that if chalitza and yibum, for that matter, are mitzvahs, so why don't we say that at the moment that the brother dies, the achames is anointed. It's his brother. So he's anointed. If he's anointed, he can't do yibum. He also can't do chalitza. Because you'll tell me, maybe yibum he can't do, he can do chalitza. But if chalitza is a mitzvah, he can't do yibum in chalitza. Once he can't do yibum in chalitza, say nesra. Say, being that I couldn't do yibum in chalitza at the moment of that, maybe I'm parted from doing yibum in chalitza at all. Elamai wants to say it's not a mitzvah. But al kopanim, that's a chams viz chakira. His chakira is chalitza a mitzvah? Or is chalitza a knob ba'almo? Lamai nafkamina, the das kinyin, is it das kinyin? Or maybe it's only mitzvah shrichas gavon. I think this Rashi is a mafurish araya. Rashi says that you know I didn't do chalitza to the melech's wife. You know why? Because Mnesha Asur, she's anyways also to get married. So bishloima, if chalitza is not a mitzvah saseh, all chalitza is a hakna. It's like a get. Here's your get. You can go get married. It's okay. There's no reason to do chalitza with the alman of a melech. Because she anyways is not allowed to get married. But if chalitza is a mitzvah, then of course you should do the chalitza. You know why you should do the chalitza? It's a mitzvah saseh. It's a regular mitzvah saseh. Why should you do the mitzvah saseh? So bishloima, if the whole matara of the chalitza is a haknob alma. So it's a good svar. She anyways can't get married. If she can't get married, what's the point of doing the chalitza? But if you tell me chalitza is a mitzvah, I say like one sad and the chacham tzvi's chakira, then I think that'd be a very good reason to do chalitza. Either way, we'll pick up a lot more geshmak array tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to see some Novi, David HaMelech, Shaul HaMelech, Michal Bashal, Meirav Bashal, some festa gemaras, and some festa